We welcome you back in to Bullseye on the afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. It's time for us to take our weekly trip to Planet Golf as we welcome in Guy Cipriano, the editor at Golf Course Industry Magazine. Guy, great to have you on as always. How are you this afternoon?
Doing great, Bull. Thanks for having me, and I hope you and your listeners are doing well.
Well, lots to talk about this week. We're going to come around to the WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational at TPC Southwind going throughout the weekend. But let's recap what happened at the 3M Open in Minnesota this past weekend. Michael Thompson's incredible victory, a two-stroke victory. He was very choked up at the very end of things. What makes his story and this particular win so compelling for him?
It's one of the things that makes the PGA Tour unique in my mind, Bull, is that there's opportunity there virtually every week for a story like this to emerge. Of course, you have your Rory McIlroys and your Brooks Koepkas and your Dustin Johnsons and your Justin Thomases and your Tiger Woods and your Phil Mickelson, and you have those type of players, and they are certainly fun to watch and bring a lot of attention to the sport, but nearly every week besides the most limited field events, there's an opportunity for someone to do something that can change the course of their life and put themselves and their family in a better position for a long time. And this is one of those circumstances. The 3M Open at TPC Twin Cities did not have a very strong field. In fact, it was the weakest field since the PGA Tour's restart last month. And you're wondering what type of stories were going to emerge. And I mean, heck, the two biggest names in the tournament, Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson, didn't even make it to the weekend. So you had a lot of players who were in this position to do something that was career changing, and maybe that's not the most ideal thing for your non-hardcore golf fan, but once you start following these and hear some of the players' stories, you realize that it's a pretty unique situation. It's one of the things that makes professional golf a bit different than some of these other sports, is that somebody like Michael Thompson can step up and have a victory. It was his first PGA Tour victory since the 2013 Honda Classic. And get this, Bull, I mean, Michael Thompson had really fallen off the golf radar. He was ranked 215th in the world entering last week. Now he's in the top 100 at 99th. And it was the first time since 2015 that he even had a top three finish on the PGA Tour. So an opportunity that had not been there for 5 years for Michael Thompson emerged, and he took advantage of it. And it was an emotional scene. Anyone that watched the tournament saw how worked up he got in his post-round interview with Amanda Baliones on CBS, and it's one of the things that makes golf unique. And here's Michael Thompson thinking just a week ago that he was going to have to board a plane and go to Reno to play in the Tahoe to play in the Barracuda Championship, which is the opposite field event this week, and now he's in Memphis in the field at the World Golf Championship FedEx St. Jude Invitational. He's able to play in the PGA Championship the following week, and he's also now qualified for the U.S. Open in September. And, oh, by the way, he's also qualified for the 2021 Masters. So 2020 Masters has its field set. So what a special thing to watch, to see someone that you haven't really thought about, even hardcore golf people. Michael Thompson hasn't been on our minds much at all the last 5 years, and for that to happen was truly one of the things that makes the PGA Tour unique compared to other sports leagues.
Yeah, an impactful victory, because you just mentioned all of the doors that have been open for him now for the next couple of years. So a huge, huge win for Michael Thompson. And, you know, he had the lowest score of anybody in, but boy, there were some very, very low scores across the board in a field that you alluded to already really wasn't as strong as it had been in weeks prior to. Any particular reason for that?
It was a soft golf course, Bull. I mean, it was the course conditions are completely different than what we saw at Mirrorfield Village for the Memorial Tournament the previous week. And when PGA Tour players have a soft golf course, and I don't care how long it is, it could be 8,500 yards, heck, it could be 9,000 yards. When they have a soft golf course and they're able to attack the pins like they were able to last week, you're going to see low numbers. There was some trouble on that golf course. There were 27 water hazards, and I think there were more balls dumped into the water last week than there were any PGA Tour event so far in the 2019-2020 season. But a soft golf course, you're going to see that happen every time. It was a relatively flat golf course on Minnesota prairie land, and that's what happens when you, even if you don't have a grade A PGA Tour field, these are still elite golfers, and they're going to take advantage of those conditions and produce the scores that we saw last weekend.
Guy Cipriano, editor at Golf Course Industry Magazine, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Well, we expect there to be a very competitive field this week and next week as well, with two very, very big events coming up. Let's focus on what's happening this weekend, the WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational at TPC Southwind. Before we get into the field, Guy, what should we know about the course?
It's been a stalwart on the PGA Tour. I mean, TPC Southwind has hosted an event every year since 1989. They're designed by Ron Pritchard with consultants Hubert Greed and Fuzzy Zeller, opened in 1988. So this was built for tournament golf. It's owned by PGA Tour Golf Course Properties. That's what that TPC label means. And, you know, up until last year, they had just played a regular PGA Tour event, the FedEx St. Jude Classic. Well, that event got elevated to a World Golf Championship event. And, Bull, you know what event this used to be, and this makes me even kind of sad talking about it.
Oh, I know, but I'm going to let you answer.
Well, this used to be the WGC Bridgestone Invitational played at Firestone Country Club. The PGA Tour at the end of the 2018 season entering 2019 wanted to give FedEx, which is the title sponsor of the playoffs and pays the PGA Tour a lot of money, an elevated event in their home city of Memphis. And, yep, the business side of golf resulted in the World Golf Championship moving from Akron, Ohio, where it had been successful for a long time, to Memphis, Tennessee. So we'll put our personal feelings aside about that. That was pretty sad, and I think people like me still get worked up even thinking about it. And we'll talk about this tournament as objectively as we can. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, TPC Southwind's not – it's a pretty difficult course. It's one of the few PGA Tour courses that's played on Zoysia grass fairways, which if you haven't played on Zoysia grass, yeah, it's a cool-sounding name, but it's also a great grass to play golf on and hit golf shots from. The ball really sits up in the fairways. It's a type of turf variety that doesn't need as much water or other inputs, especially in the summer, so it allows – itself to grow nicely in a place like Memphis where it can get just brutally hot. And that's another thing. I'm sure the PGA Tour players weren't too happy about taking a tournament from Akron, Ohio, which can be a little hot, but it's not necessarily sultry all the time in August, to a place like Memphis that's just downright brutal. So this is really going to be a tournament where I think fitness is going to matter and hydrating is going to matter and some of those things. TPC Southwind has some bite. It's a par 70. It's close to 7,300 yards. It's got a lot of deep Bermuda grass rough and some bunkers. But it'll be curious to see if they let the golf course firm up or if it plays like it TPC Twin Cities did last week. It's it's a course that's there year after year if you're someone that watches golf on TV.
So based on all of that with the course conditions, do you expect to see the same kinds of low scores that we saw this past weekend?
That's a great question, because you have a higher caliber of a field. I think the par 70 is going to limit the overall winning score in relation to par. I think if you can get in somewhere around 15 under, I don't think it's going to take 20 under to do it. I think if you get somewhere into that 13 to 15 under range, 13 under to 16 under range, you're going to have a good shot at this golf tournament. So, every PGA Tour tournament besides like the U.S. Open and what we saw at the Memorial a few weeks ago and sometimes the Masters is a birdie fest, but this quite won't be the birdie fest that we saw last week in Minnesota.
All right, well, let's get into the field here this week, because as you mentioned, there are two great tournaments this weekend and next weekend as well, so we have a lot to look forward to. But as far as this weekend's field, who comes to mind?
Well, first we'll talk about who's not there. It was very surprising to hear the news late last week that Tiger Woods wasn't going to play in the WGC FedEx, because Tiger, at the end of the Memorial, alluded that he wouldn't be gone for that long, that he was going to be back on tour soon. Now it looks like he's not going to, obviously he's not going to play until the PGA Championship. So you wonder what's going on there. But focusing on the players that are in the field, one of the big storylines is that this is John Rahm's first tournament since becoming world number one. There's some players that can overtake him if they win this week, and Rahm doesn't play that well, so it could be a short reign at number one. Rory McIlroy is not that far behind him in the world ranking points, so it'll be interesting to see how John Rahm handles the number one position. We see some players, and we talked about it last week, that this is someone that could stay at number one for a long time, but it just might not be this time. So he's one that we really want to keep an eye on. I would say another player that is definitely worth watching is Daniel Berger. Before this got elevated to a WGC event, he had won back-to-back years at TPC Southwind. He was playing almost as well as anyone before the restart, and then of course he came back and won the Charles Schwab Challenge right at the restart. So this is a player that anytime he tees it up at TPC Southwind is a serious factor. And then you have some players that are a bit hobbled. I mean, Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka, a lot of questions surrounding them. Dustin Johnson, he mentioned that he had a back injury and that really affected him at the Memorial and then last week at the 3M Open. So it's interesting to see where his health is going to be. I mean, Brooks Koepka, not only did he miss the cut last week, Bull, he got beat by his younger brother, Chase, who was into the field, I believe, on a sponsor's exemption. So you wonder where Brooks Koepka is. I mean, Brooks Koepka next week is going to be going to the PGA Championship at TPC Harding Park as the two-time defending champ, trying to become just the second player ever to win the PGA Championship three times in a row. And he is a week removed from getting beat by his brother and not even making the cut at a PGA Tour tournament that had a, like we said, less than stellar field. So those are some players I'm really looking at this week.
You mentioned Brooks Koepka and both Dustin Johnson, too. I mean, I look at those two guys as two really interesting names at this stage of the season. Dustin Johnson, not that long ago, won a tournament, but these are back-to-back tournaments now. Where has he not only not golfed well, but he didn't make the cut a couple weeks ago, and then last week you mentioned he pulled out of the tournament, so I'm kind of anxious to hear what you think about what's going on with him. And then with Brooks Koepka, that's a guy we discussed a couple of weeks ago. He just can't seem to get on the right path this season.
Something is obviously not right with Dustin Johnson. You don't go from winning an event like the Travelers Championship last month with that caliber of field to shooting in the 80s at the Memorial and 3M Open. I mean, he isn't missing the cut here by a shot or two. I mean, he's shooting in the 80s. We probably have no, I mean, PGA Tour setups are very difficult and extreme, but there are probably people listening to this segment that could shoot, you know, a 78, 79 at some of these courses, even under PGA Tour conditions. Maybe they don't do it consistently, but they have the ability to do it. So this is a very puzzling one because this was a player that, like I said, had won against a great field just last month. And Brooks Koepka is equally as puzzling because, I mean, the rap on Brooks Koepka is that this is someone that elevates his game for the majors and the big events. And, you know, not only does he have the four major championships, he won the WGC FedEx last year. He defeated Rory McIlroy and when they were in the final pairing on Sunday of the 2019 tournament. So who knows what's going on with him? I mean, it's one thing to just elevate your game for the majors and big events, but he's not even in the ballpark at regular PGA Tour events right now. So these are players that need I would say Koepka even more than Johnson needs to play well this week and at least make some birdies and get some good vibes around his golf game because, like I said, next week when they get to TPC Harding Park, I mean, Brooks Koepka has a chance to make history. And, oh, he had that chance last year at the U.S. Open and came in second place, right? Like he had a chance to become a three-time U.S. Open champion, three consecutive years, and came in second place. He was very close to that had it not been for Gary Woodland playing a great final round and making some great up and downs, including the one on number 17 there to really seal the tournament. So I'm with you, Bull. These are two players that are really on the clock this week.
All right, Guy, well, we can wrap up this week by talking about the LPGA event that's going on in Toledo. What's happening here?
Yeah, this is an event that wasn't even in existence 7 weeks ago. The LPGA is got ready to restart their season, and they haven't played a tournament in North America since January. I mean, it's been a long time. Really, the COVID-19 situation hit the LPGA before almost any other sports league because they were on their Asian swing when it started happening. So this is the first time in North America since the winter that the LPGA has played. And this is interesting because it's played at Inverness Club. And this was a tournament that didn't even exist 7 weeks ago. The LPGA and the club came to an agreement, and they have the golf course ready because of the great work by Superintendent John Zimmer's and team. And I'm fascinated by this one because Inverness is one of the storied clubs in Ohio. I mean, get this, it's hosted 4 U.S. Opens and 2 PGA Championships, but the last PGA Championship it hosted was in 1993. It's getting ready to host the Solheim Cup next year, which is the women's golf version of the Ryder Cup. So, I mean, how cool is this that the LPGA is playing again in North America, and it's at this historic golf course. And this is another thing that's really fascinating. The course is going to be playing, according to the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America fact sheet that I'm looking at, is going to be playing at 6,800 yards for the women.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
Well. And it's a really fascinating situation. The members are going to be playing on it until Wednesday, and then the Drive On Championship starts next Friday, on Friday. So, yeah. Geez, I got my weeks confused. But, yeah, so the members are going to give it up on Wednesday, and then the LPGA comes in. They're going to use it for a practice round on Thursday and then 3 tournament rounds. And then they go to Highland Meadows, which is across town in Salina, Ohio. So this is great for Ohio golf, and it's great for women's golf that they're getting an opportunity to play a course like Inverness Club, which is a storied Donald Ross design that has been recently restored by architect Andrew Green, and I'm really curious to see how this one plays out and what the winning score is going to be and what the conditions are going to be like, because it's basically going to be the golf course that the members have been playing all summer.
Very, very good stuff. Always good to see the golf spotlight on the Buckeye State. Well, Guy, as always, we appreciate the time. Always enjoy taking the trip to Planet Golf with you on a weekly basis, and we look forward to catching up with you again next week.
Yep, thanks for having me, Bull.
Thank you, Guy. Again, that's Guy Cipriano, editor at Golf Course Industry Magazine, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Let's break. Rocco and I will come back with more right after this here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.